Good evening. That was a great song. Really enjoyed that. So let's turn to Exodus 25. Just need to start my timer. But let's notice three things from Exodus 25, and then we'll pray. Exodus 25, verse 8, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Let's notice how God wants to dwell among us. And then we go to verse 20. "And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat." So the cherubim are looking down at the mercy seat. And lastly, verse 22, "And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat." And see how he says, I will speak with you. And this tonight I'm going to talk about the presence of God in prayer. So we're thinking about prayer today, and I want to speak about how we can have the presence of God in prayer. And prayer is a relationship that God says, I will speak with you, not to you, but with you. So dear Lord, really bless this word. Thank you for your Bible. Speak through me, God. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. So this isn't a tabernacle with the Israelite camp. And in order to get to the mercy seat, it was actually really interesting reading about this. Aaron and his sons were the only ones who could go into the tabernacle. And what they had to do was for 7 days they had to be consecrated. So they had to go through a series of things that they had to do. Multiple sacrifices, and it took 7 days. So every day there had to be one bull that they put their hands on, and they would kill the bull, and it was as an atonement for themselves. And they would also have two rams, and it's really interesting how they would do this. One ram they would kill, and they would put the blood on their thumb, their right ear, and their right big toe. It's really interesting. But then with the other ram, they would kill it and they would eat part of it, and then they would sacrifice the other part. They would burn it to God. And every day in the tabernacle, after they were consecrated, they took one lamb in the morning and one lamb at night. And what they would do is they would sacrifice in the morning, they would burn altar on the incense, and then they would light the lampstand. And then they would go and they would come back at night. Same thing, light the lampstand, put incense on the altar, and sacrifice the lamb. And every year they had one offering that they would sacrifice on the altar of incense. And every year it was the atonement offering. And this is like to get to the presence of God, like this is like only Aaron and his sons could do this and actually be where the mercy seat was. There was only a select few people who could be where the mercy seat was. And it just makes it so much more amazing that we can access the mercy seat because of Christ. So let's walk through the same set of circumstances, but with Christ. Because we have the altar of burnt offering, the bronze laver, then we come into the holy place, and we have the table of showbread, we have the altar of incense, and the lampstand. And all of these requirements Christ has fulfilled. And see, when we come into the altar with Christ, and this is with prayer, let's not forget this is with prayer, that Christ gave up his life, he gave up his body, so that we could enter the mercy seat. And now we come to the bronze laver, they would have to wash their hands and wash their feet, but they could never wash their heart. But when Christ came, he said, it says Psalm 24, 3 and 4, "Who can ascend into your holy hill except him who has clean hands and a pure heart?" And when Jesus comes, he says, "You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you," John 15, 3. That you are already clean. You don't need to wash your hands because you are already clean. In Ephesians 5:26, it says that he will sanctify us and he will wash us in the water of the word. There's no blood except that we need to put on ourselves because we're washed in the water of the word as we enter in. And then we get to the table of showbread, and Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. We go over to the lampstand, and he said, and we see in 1 John 1:7, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. And then we get to the altar of incense, and this is beautiful, that Romans 8:3-4, it says that the prayers of the saints arise up to God. They ascend to God, and there's a golden censer, a golden bowl in front of God's throne that holds the prayer of the saints. That our prayers actually go before God, and it's not that I have to burn anything, but I come with my heart and I pour out my heart to God, Psalm 62:8. I pour out my soul before God. And then that yearly sacrifice they did on the altar of incense, Hebrews 10:3, it says that in that sacrifice, there's a reminder of my sins every year. Every year there will be a sacrifice for sins. But this man, after he sacrificed for sins forever, Hebrews 10:12, he sat down at the right hand of God. And that it was one sacrifice because he was the perfect lamb. Right? And if we think about this, that Christ offered so much so that I could go to the mercy seat, why do I go so little? I'm talking to myself. Why do I spend so little time at the mercy seat where God actually says he will speak with me? In Proverbs 6:23, the commandments of God that we keep, when we walk, they will lead us. When we sleep, they will keep us, and we awake, they will speak with us. That prayer is a relationship, that love is a dialogue, that it's not me just giving all my stuff to God and then saying, wow, that felt great, and walking away. But I come to God, I give him all my stuff, and then I stay there, and I can actually be in the presence of God, and I can be at the mercy seat. Isn't that amazing? And then we read this verse in Exodus 25:20 that says, the cherubim are looking down at the mercy seat. And why are they looking down at the mercy seat? This is my closing point, is that you and I, we receive mercy from God. We enter into this secret place with God behind the veil. Jesus tore the veil, Matthew 27:51. He tore it from top to bottom. No man could do that. And then we're into the presence of God, and we're praying to God, and we find a secret place with God. And the angels, they're looking at the mercy seat, and they're saying, what is this sinner doing? How come this sinner has access to God? How come this sinner is actually forgetting his sin, giving his sin to God, and abiding in the presence of God? And the angels are looking at each other, and they're saying, wow, look at the mercy seat. I've never seen anything like this before. I saw a third of the angels go to hell with no mercy, but this sinner who's been sinning their entire life can forget their sin, be in the presence of God, and rest. Isn't that amazing? And they're looking at each other and saying, wow, I've never seen mercy before, but I get to see it because Zephaniah 3:17, God is rejoicing over the sinner who's in his presence. Isn't that awesome? Is that I rest in the presence of God, and it gives glory to God, and the angels are amazed at the mercy seat. And we said that God wants to dwell among us. The last thing that Jesus did, not the last thing, but the last thing I want to talk about, is that he came, the Word became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. God wanted to dwell among us, so he came to the earth, right? In the tabernacle, and then with his own son, he sent his own son, right? But Jesus did not stop there. He said, I want to dwell with you, but I also want to dwell in you. In John 14:17, he says, I'm not going to stop at just being with you. I want to be inside of you. So what does this mean tonight? I just want to give you a piece of what God has showed me, is that if we really find the secret place with God, if we really enter into the secret place with God, his presence will fill the room. He'll meet us there. And all of our problems, all of our situations, all of our circumstances, all of our worries when we actually meet with God, they'll be gone. That no flesh shall glory in your presence, 1 Corinthians 1:29. That when I'm with God, my life becomes carefree, and I'm no longer carnally minded, but I'm spiritually minded, and I can see life a different way. I can see life from the eyes of God. To be spiritually minded is life in peace. And when I go to the mercy seats, I can be spiritually minded, and I can rest with God and think the way God does. Amen.
Okay, if you could stand. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. Woo! Wow. Men of God being raised up in the ministry. Isn't that great? Wow. Acts chapter 9. As we're considering prayer tonight, and the wrap session will be a prayer meeting right here, right down front in the chapel. And maybe there's things you think you have to do after church, but you could come. And we can pray and really believe God. Acts chapter 9, I want to just read two verses. Verse 10 of Acts 9. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in the vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And I really believe these visions were an aspect of them praying to God, then God opening up and speaking to them. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. And we've heard this thought before. We'll hear it again tonight. For behold, he prays. Father, thank you tonight that one man is in one place and one man is in another. And God connects the two of them together. We thank you and we pray that you would help us tonight. Help us, God. We thank you that we, sinners saved by grace, we people on this earth can pray to God Almighty through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God. What a privilege we have to speak to God. That's an amazing privilege. We thank you. Bless our time tonight. Bless Pastor Schaller once again in Russia and Finland. And really, use the time there in a most unique way, God. Strengthen him. Give him wisdom. Give him a manifestation of your life in the messages. Bless the fellowship, the vision, taking the next step. Be with him in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's such a simple portion of Scripture. Behold, he prays. Behold, he prays. And oftentimes, I know in my own life at times, and especially in our age today, so often people, even in Christianity, are trying to figure it all out through human reason and come to a conclusion with human ability to make something happen. Are you with me? And God is just saying, just ask me. And I love what he said. I was thinking about prayer is nothing but a love fellowship. Hopefully, if you're married, you like to talk to your wife. Should I say that again? Hopefully, if you're married and she likes to talk to you. Like, I love talking to someone who loves me. That's Jesus Christ. And I talk to him and he talks to me. And when we see prayer as a love fellowship, oftentimes when you say the word prayer because of maybe past thought patterns in our lives, we begin to get a little bit funny about it. You know, I don't pray. I can't pray. I find that the most difficult thing to do to pray. And rather than just see it simply as a fellowship of love between you and Jesus Christ. And to me, that really releases so much of the burden and so much of the human thinking from it. And really, prayer, such a key. This ministry was born in prayer. If you heard stories from Pastor Stevens years ago, how some, was it three women? Two women prayed for years and years and years, and they prayed that God would raise up a man of the word and a man with a vision, and he was the result of their prayers. And maybe we'll never know exactly who they were or whatever took place, but we know that they prayed. They prayed. And here's these two men, and Richard Wurmbrand said that what took place on Straight Street in Damascus, Syria, in the house of Judas, was the most earth-shaking event that ever took place in the book of Acts, where Saul, or Paul, met Ananias. And Ananias was used by God to remove his blindness. Isn't it great? Did you ever think about this? God blinded Saul of Tarsus, but used the hands of someone in the body of Christ to remove the blindness. I know he did it through Ananias, but he made it happen that way. And really, as we think about prayer and the importance of prayer in our lives, and not just for, like, sometimes we think about prayer for some of these massive problems or situations that we would face. And it can be little things. A little girl came to D.L. Moody, and she was crying, and she said, "Would you pray for me, Mr. Moody?" She says, "I want a multicolored ball, and I can't find the multicolored ball, and nobody will get me a multicolored ball." And D.L. Moody prayed for her and said, "In 2 days, you're going to have a multicolored ball." And in 2 days, he brought her a multicolored ball. And it was just, maybe just a little thing, but for that child, something took place in her life that maybe changed her life. Behold, he prays. And when you think about the beginning of the Apostle Paul's ministry, it begins with prayer. Somebody's praying. Two people are praying and something is taking place. And oftentimes we can see situations and we look at them and nothing is ever changing. Nothing's taking place. Maybe there's aspects of my life I would like to see changed, and that's for sure. Hello? Yeah. And you too. Don't include just me, just all of us. There's things that we would like to see change in our lives. Maybe we want to see things change in other people's lives. Something happened at the job. Something happened in the neighborhood. Something happened with a relative. Something take place in my health. Something's going on. And so often we get involved with all kinds of human thinking and human reason. And we come up with some solution. But God is saying simply, he prayed. And he prayed. And that was it. And that was it. Really. I could never go to Bible school. And he prayed. And God said, you can learn the word of God. I don't understand. I'm not very well educated. I was thinking about a man. They told me he was very sick today. His name is Pastor Winfred Morty. He's 88 years old. And he's still pastoring in the mountaintop of a village in Ghana. I remember one time when we went there and they said he is like had a stroke and he is unconscious and there was nothing that could be done for him. And seven of us went there. We laid hands on him and prayed for him and he stood up and he was totally healed. And that was like 12 years ago. That's amazing. I'm thinking, you know, like, by the way, 88 in Africa is a little bit different than 88 here. You just add about 15 years to that, you know, because of the kind of life that many times people live there and whatnot. But behold, they what? They prayed. I remember when I was in my house in Kampala, Uganda. Was it Nansana, Pastor Eugene? Was Nansana? I don't know. Remember, we had a prayer meeting. Remember, I had this idea. I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was like God said to me, go to Ruth chapter 2. And I went to Ruth chapter 2 and I said, let us go into the fields at once. And I thought to God, I was talking to God like, wait a minute, I'm in the field. What are you saying here? And it was like the Holy Spirit was just impressing upon me South Africa, going to South Africa. So I woke up Pastor Eugene and we called back here to Baltimore because we didn't have any money. And I pray, God, if this is your will, I pray that you make this happen. And I called Pastor Guy Duff at the time in the missions office. And I said, I know you just sent my money, my missions money, and the bank account is empty. But can you tell me if anything has taken place since yesterday when you sent the money? He goes, you know what? Something's happened. Somebody put $1,000 in your account. So we got two tickets. And what do? We went to South Africa. And it was the beginning of the ministry in South Africa, which is now in 7 countries in Southern Africa. And behold, he what? He prayed. Is Michelle here? Are you here, Michelle? Could I come down to you for a minute? Or could you come over here for a minute? I want you to... something interesting happened. I want to make sure I get the story right. And I also want to, you know, sometimes people say, boy, your stories are so like incredible. Are you sure they really happened that way? Did we get arrested in Bulgaria?
We did.
Were you in jail in Bulgaria?
I was.
Did we have any Bibles in Bulgaria?
A lot.
You know how many?
Oh, I don't know. 50, 100?
50 or 100 Bibles. We were inside the jail.
Oh, yeah.
We were, how many was it, like? 15 of us?
Yeah. But not my husband. They thought he was a native.
And can you tell them what happened?
Well, Pastor Shabelli was with his passport trying to explain that we were this world-traveling mime group, and it was such a blessing that we had come to their country, and they were having none of it. None of it. So we took the Bibles. I went in the ladies' room, wrapped them up in a bag, took off my mime costume, turned things inside out, and I just walked out of the jail.
And they let us all go and put us at the border, and we were free.
Yep. Yep.
Behold, he what?
Prays.
He prays. Behold, what? And that's people praying for us. Like I was thinking about having been 2 million miles on the mission field in the air. 2 million miles, and I'm standing here. Behold, you what? You pray. Do you remember the time we were in the country of Jordan? I was talking to the other person that was with us the other day. I'm sorry if I'm coming down here, but I don't care. We were in Jordan. Did you go to jail in Jordan?
Yes, I did.
Let me ask you a question. Why did they release you and keep me?
Because you were the leader.
And we were there like... couple of days, right? They were like bothering us for a couple of days. And we prayed, and guess what happened? Boy, did we have a lot of Bibles there too. And they said, the Bibles are worth 7 years in prison. And I calculated how many years we'd be in prison, and behold, we pray. Help us, God. Help us. Really, those might be big things. I got locked up with my wife in Yugoslavia. We were both in the same cell, which was awesome. Well, at least you got your wife in the cell anyway, you know. And I didn't have Pastor Steve Murillo in the cell, you know. Praise the Lord for that. He'd keep me up all night, you know. But we prayed. We prayed, and we were set free. That happened. John Shermer is not here, but we were in Qatar, and we got arrested by the police in Qatar. We were locked up, and I got angry with the policeman because he took my McDonald's chicken sandwich. And I said, go back to McDonald's and get the sandwich because you took it from me and I left it there and I'm hungry. He goes, you got a lot of nerve. I said, yes, I do. I want a chicken sandwich. And I prayed and he got the chicken sandwich. And then they also let us go again. You see, those could be like to some people's minds, that's outrageous. But this is what happened. I mean, you can see Paul praying. You can see Peter praying in Acts chapter 12. Behold, he prays, and all of a sudden, it's wide open. All right? It's wide open. The doors are wide open. And these are not just Bible stories. These are absolute realities that can happen in all of our lives. We get the report from the doctor, and this is what it says. And I read the report, and I respect the report. But I got something else to say. Behold, he prays. Behold, he prays. And that situation can be totally reversed. Totally, I can get totally transformed and delivered. Look at this checkbook and look at this salary and look at these bills. This is ridiculous. You look at it by sight and it does look like it's quite something else, but what? Behold, he prays. I think your mom, where does Zane go, right? Behold, they prayed, right? Did they pray for you? Look what happened. Look what happened. Isn't that amazing? Right? A man of the book has been raised up. Behold, he prays. You know, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul in he prayed 3 different prayers in the book of Ephesians. The first prayer, and this is a very important prayer, he said that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened.
First of all, he prayed that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know what the hope of your calling is, what are the riches of his glory, of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. He's praying that Christians and he himself would have their eyes open to see who they are in Christ. Isn't that a great prayer? Rather than seeing who you are in the flesh, who needs to see that? Break that mirror. Break that mirror. But the prayer that Paul prayed was, I want myself and others that are saved to see who they are in Christ. Rather than always viewing yourself as who you are in the old sin nature, or who you are in some image that people have projected at you, or who you are based upon your family, your culture, your job, your past, your sin, your failures. First prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesians is, I want to have God give you the spirit of wisdom and wisdom, practical personal knowledge about your life, revelation, unveiling, precise knowledge. Having your eyes enlightened. Photizo is the word. Can you say that word? Photizo, your eyes enlightened. That you might know what is three things. The hope of your calling. What your calling is all about. The riches of the glory that you have. And the great power that God has given you. That's a prayer. And we pray that for people. I know that when we went to Africa with missions, our prayer was that people would see the finished work, because there's so much preaching that is contrary to the finished work. And we wanted people to have their eyes opened, their understanding enlightened. This is a great prayer. A prayer for our God, help me to see correctly. Help me to see who I am in Christ, so I don't walk around just saying all day long, woe is me. Woe is me. I'll never get out of these habits. I'll never change. I'm always the same, you know, and on it goes. Rather, see yourself in Christ. Amen? By the way, Satan does not want you to see yourself in Christ. He wants you to see yourself in you. You know, what's happened in your life and who you are. You know, I counsel people a lot of times, and they go, well, this is the way I've always been. Oh, really? This is the way you've always been? Well, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. N-E-W. You're what? New. Say it. I'm new. I'm a new person tonight. It isn't just happy new year. It's blessed new man. And then blessed one new man. That's the body. We're new. Paul says there, I want their eyes to be open. I don't want them to see themselves the way other Ephesians see themselves. And that city was filled with idolatry and Diana worship. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. They were shouting for 2 hours. And Paul knows that they need to see themselves in Christ. And that's a prayer. Isn't that a great prayer for our children? Grandchildren, other people? Maybe Christians that we might work with? I pray that they would see themselves in Christ. And I pray that I would always see myself in Christ. In him. This is key. Rather than walking around with a woe is me and that poor self-image, I can never do anything. Knock it off. Knock it off. That's from the enemy. Right? That's from the enemy. Every time I wish to do good, I find evil present with me. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? He opened his eyes. I thank God. Through Jesus Christ the Lord, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Hallelujah. I want to pray, and I want to constantly have a prayer. God, always help me to see who I am in you. Not who I am in my culture, not who I am in my old sin nature. God, I was in Switzerland one time, and I was escaping my name and my family and my city and my past. And I'm walking down a street in Interlaken, Switzerland. And I hear a guy yell from behind me, hey, Shibeli! I said to myself, oh, my God. I can't get away. You can go as far as you want, but you know where you go to get away from the old sin nature? In Christ. My position in Christ. Paul's second prayer. And this is Ephesians 3:16 through 21. His second prayer is that people would understand who they are in the body. They would see the riches of his glory, of the inheritance in the saints, that they would be strengthened with might in the inner man. And they would understand body life, the church. Our prayer is, you know, for some people to really understand, do you understand the church, the body of Christ? It's not just high by church, Sunday church, once a month church, once a year church. I was asking people the other day and on the phone today, how many people came for New Year's? One man told me we had 130 visitors. He said, but they weren't new. They were just people that come at New Year's. Got to get the New Year's blessing. Got to get the New Year's blessing. And we had massive crowds of people that came. But sad to say, my prayer is, as Paul's prayer would be, that people would see the body of Christ, what the saints are about, and the riches that we have in the saints, and our purpose in the church, and the glory of the church. That's what he says in 3:20 and 21. To him be glory in the church. That my eyes would be open to see the church more than just somebody sitting next to me. And not get involved with all kinds of differences and things that take place where the enemy is trying to elevate these things so I will be occupied with them instead of, this is my brother. Look at the person next to you and say, this is my brother or sister. This is my brother or sister. Can you say, this is my brother? This is my brother. This is my brother. This is my brother. These are my brothers. Okay? They're not just acquaintances. We are brothers and sisters. And Paul, by the way, it's amazing that the man who persecuted the body of Christ was the one that was given the revelation of the body. Isn't that something? He persecuted the body and God gave him the revelation in Ephesians of body life. And he prayed, oh, that people would understand. They would understand in Acts 10 and 11 that Gentiles are a part of this work. It doesn't matter somebody's age, somebody's culture, somebody's background, somebody's genetics. It has nothing to do with that. We are the body of Christ. I pray, Paul is saying, I pray that people would see the church, the body of Christ, and the glory in the church. And I find my purpose in the church. My purpose is not in my old sin nature. My purpose is not in my genetics. My purpose is not in my past. My purpose is not in some label that somebody gives me. My purpose is in the church. I heard a guy preaching one time in Nigeria. And he said, he kept talking about the porpoise in the church. I was looking around for an aquarium or a tank. I didn't know what he meant. You find your porpoise in the church. I said, porpoise in the church? What the heck is he talking about? And I realized he meant purpose. And my eyes were opened. And I saw, okay? That's his prayer, that we would see the church. His last prayer in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, pray for me that I might be bold in my mouth. I would open my mouth to proclaim as an ambassador the mystery of the gospel. That's another prayer, isn't it? That's a great prayer. That we would see the importance of the gospel, and we do. Bringing this message into all the world. Somebody said to me, when are you leaving? I said, the day that Pastor Shala comes home. I said, this is like a rotating thing, you know. Come, go, come, go, come, go, come, go, come, go. You know, I praise the Lord for my wife, too. Maybe she's watching tonight, I don't know. But I thank her because I can be gone 6 months a year, and she never mentions it. Except for the food bill goes down. No, she's amazing. She lets me pursue God in the calling of God. No, it's really incredible because she understands the gospel and the mystery of the gospel. And oh, that could be the prayer for churches, that they would see the mystery of the gospel and be involved in missions. It's incredible that what's taken place in America in regards to missions has gone the other way so fast. And we used to be the greatest missionary country on the face of the earth. And that's not the case anymore. People just are not going anymore. Maybe they think because of all the technology we have and all the internet we have and all the, you know, the, what do you call those round things on top of people's roofs? Satellites that we have. No, it doesn't replace the one-on-one. Amen? It doesn't replace house to house, knock on the door, face to face with a person. Going to a brand new place. We had miraculous services as a ministry in Pakistan on New Year's. Miraculous church services. Incredible. We have 75 students taking college classes from MBCNS in Pakistan. And two cities, Islamabad, which is House of Islam. That's what the name means. And Lahore. Lahore and Islamabad. And it's amazing because we're praying. And God's opening what? He's opening doors. Every time I take a trip overseas, I want to go to a new city. And I want to bring people there. And we want to just spend 3 days there praying and asking God to open the door. His prayer was that the mystery of the gospel, pray for me that my mouth would stay open. Somebody told me, you got a big mouth. I go, exactly. It's always probably going to be that way. Yeah. I was always the loudest person in elementary school. I got sent home so many times by the teacher, and my mother would say, again, 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 yes, that our mouths would be open. Satan loves to shut people's mouths and lock them up, lip lock. Just lock it up so they don't say anything. Paul is praying. So as we consider the year 2019, let's consider these three prayers. Let's consider prayer. Let's consider the throne of grace. Let's consider that he ever lives to make intercession for us. Let us consider that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Let us consider that the weakest, newest, youngest saint praying makes Satan tremble because he knows that that person is praying to an almighty God. And God hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. I said, God, I don't want to be in Yugoslavia on a honeymoon with my wife in a jail cell. I want out. I don't want to be in Qatar. I don't want to be in a Jordan cell. I don't want to be in Bulgaria. Happened in Austria, too. I was with the pastor there, and he goes, this has never happened to me. What did you do? I said, nothing. I just preached, and they handcuffed me. That's just the way it is. You know what? Let's keep praying. Amen? Let's keep praying. It's a love fellowship with God. It's a love fellowship. I'm praying with one to one who loves me. And this is amazing. And he loves to hear my voice call upon me. What did he say? I might answer. I could answer. It's a possibility. Call upon me and I will answer. And not only I'm calling upon God for certain things, but he says this, I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not of. It's even beyond what your prayer is. And that's also Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we could ask or think. God will do beyond what you could even think. Isn't that awesome? Say hallelujah then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. Psalm 107, it says four times, and they cried to the Lord. And then it says God's response was his goodness. They cried to the Lord. The disciples asked Jesus not how to pray or what manner they may have asked, but they said, just teach us to pray. It's not how we pray, what we say, but just teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Luke 11:1, teach us to pray. The prayer of Jesus is amazing in John 17. It's amazing. He uses the word world in that prayer 18 times. He's telling us what to pray and watch out for, the world. Thank you, God. That we can come to you, no matter what the difficulty is, no matter what the problem, no matter what the situation. You said, come unto me. Call upon me. Call upon me. Our first prayer tonight is if you have never received Christ or you're watching on the internet, say, Jesus, save me tonight. I believe in the blood of God, the Son, who paid for my sins. And I trust in him tonight as my personal Savior. On the internet or here in the assembly, you must be born again. It's not a maybe, it's a must be. If that's your prayer or you're on the internet watching,
acknowledge in some way, even here in the assembly, you can just raise your hand. Yes, I want Christ tonight. I want Jesus. And for us as believers, let's just quietly stand and we're gonna pray. Just stand with me. We're gonna pray. First of all, Lord Jesus, as Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, enlighten our eyes that we might see who we are in Christ. Would you pray that prayer quietly with your lips and your heart? Open my eyes. Open my eyes so I can see who I am in Christ. I can see Jesus. In Matthew 17, and they saw Jesus. Open my eyes. It was said of Paul, and behold, he prays. Show me who I am continually in you. Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, the greatness of his power. The next prayer is that I might see the body of Christ. I might have a brand new understanding through an illumination of the Holy Spirit about the body of Christ, the church, the riches of his glory in the church, life in the church, my purpose in the church, fellowship in the church. And the third prayer, that you would open my mouth, that I might speak boldly about the mystery of the gospel. These are Paul's three prayers in Ephesians. And behold, he prays. Maybe you want to just think about one of those prayers or all of them tonight. Just lift them up to God right now. Jesus, he ever lives to make intercession. What's he living? He's living to make intercession. What's he living for? To make intercession. He ever lives to make intercession. This is Jesus. Through the leading of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 26 and 27, the Spirit intercedes for us. When we don't even know how to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes. And that can happen in our lives. We don't even know what to pray for, how to pray, anything like that. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession. Lift your hands to God. Thank him today. He hears your prayers. It's a love fellowship. It's a faith approach. It's a body life exercise. It's Word of God centered. It's a finished work. That's our prayers tonight. We thank you tonight, Jesus. Once again, for Pastor Schaller, bless him super abundantly in his travels, in his fellowship, in his preaching, relationships with these people that he's meeting from the body. Just touch him tonight. Thank you for his leadership right here, God. Thank you for his life, his family. We pray, God, help us. We pray that many times the enemy will come in like a flood, but the Spirit raises up a standard. And we're weak, but we can pray. Behold, he prays. A blind man praying. That's how he begins his ministry. And that's how he continues his ministry. Behold, he prays. Behold, he prays. And then they have a prayer meeting, and it's Ananias and Saul who becomes Paul. And what takes place is the power of the gospel from country to country, city to city, country to country. It's beginning there, as it began with the apostles, but it's beginning. Missions begins. And behold, he prays. May that be said about us. Help us to pray, God. Teach us to pray. Motivate us to pray. thank you so much, Jesus, tonight. We pray that you would bless our night tonight. Bless the time of prayer, the rap session, the prayer that we have in the chapel in 20 minutes. Protect people on the road, God. Give us a great, great night tonight. Just trusting, going to sleep tonight and thinking, behold, he prays. Behold, I pray. Even with stammering lips and not even understanding what I'm saying. But I'm just speaking to Jesus, who loves me. I want a multicolored ball. You got it. Behold, he prays. I want reconciliation in the body. I want healing in the physical body. I want finances to make it in life. I want to see drug addicts converted, alcoholics changed, all addictions, people will be saved. I want to see people around me at work be changed in the neighborhood. And behold, he what? Behold, he what? Behold, he prays. We thank you tonight. Bless our night tonight and that which is to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.